Hello, my beautiful babes. How are you all? You sound gorgeous, absolutely divine. Me and Milky, we rested, didn't we? Because we had our day off yesterday. Went down the cinema. We watched The Railway Children, didn't we, in 4D? That was Milky's choice. I didn't like it particularly, personally, but it was gorgeous. And then we got in there and realised we was actually watching the Minions movie. And then Milky got a stiffy and we had to leave. We haven't spoken about that yet, Milky, but I'll tell you something. That, we've got to take you to see someone, haven't we? Because that ain't right. That ain't right. But to be honest, I think it was just the cold weather and the excitement. You've never seen an animation before. How are you lot? You all right? Nice to have a little audience, isn't it? I'd like to come out and have a little chat just to show, prove the people at home that it ain't a lie. You look ever so trendy and funky. What's your name?
Betty.
Oh, and Betty is quite a trendy name. Do you think? Well, they're ever so trendy now, though, the granny names, aren't they? Where are you from?
I'm from Hertfordshire.
Oh, bit of the money. You know what I mean? I could do with a bit of sponsorship if you're looking this way. I like your shoes as well. For the listeners at home, because this is a podcast, imagine that. They're like a bit like bowling shoes, aren't they?
Yeah, I've got about 4 pound shoes as well.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. Well, it's gorgeous to meet you, Betty. I adore you. And all of you lot, I adore you lot too. Don't want to leave you out. Okay, gorgeous. Shall we welcome to the stage our gorgeous guests? What do you reckon? Beautiful. Let's welcome to the stage the wonderful Jack Brook. And the gorgeous Betty Harrison. Oh, my God. You can sit whichever way you want. How are you both? Good to see you here. Thanks for coming on. Patty, it's your day off. I can't believe we dragged you in on your day off.
No, this is what I wanted to do on my day off. It's chill. It's nice. I haven't really gotten on any of the other days that I've had shows. I've been so stressed out about my shows. I haven't felt really confident and good to do other hop on other people's shows. So this is really nice.
Why that is it's stressful? Kind
of because I think because I only have the bandwidth to focus on one kind of stressful performative thing a day. Performative, as in performing on stage and not like my political beliefs and my activism. And
did you come on the train this morning?
I came on the LNER Azuma service at 9 a.m. from King's Cross to Edinburgh Waverley.
Did you get any snacks?
Yep. At one point, my friend fell asleep on the train and I lied that I lied that she'd been asleep the whole journey, therefore hadn't had her breakfast order. So could we get another bacon bap? And then I ate her bacon bap and I finished off her original bacon bap. So I had 2.5 bacon baps.
Which basically means you went first class, didn't you?
First class. Only get
we know this because you only get delivered food in the little first class bit, don't you?
Shit, I forgot. I'm supposed to be holding up that I'm Watford's working class hero.
That disappeared a long time ago.
A long time ago.
To be fair enough. How do you two know each other then? Because you're actually buddies, aren't you?
Well, we met recently.
Yeah, Patty came to my birthday party.
Oh, the one I wasn't at. Oh, no, I was, to be fair, you did invite me, but
yeah,
I was busy.
But you were up here.
Yeah, I was in Edinburgh. Sorry, forgive me, it's my paranoia. It comes back, the pills don't work.
Yeah, Patty came to my birthday with lovely Lolly Adefope.
Yeah, I met her through friends who were our comedy friends in the States who met her interning for, I think, Baby Wants Candy at Fringe, Edinburgh Fringe, I think, Edinburgh Fringe in, 2013, I think, or something.
So technically,
so it's,
Fringe.
All kind of, yeah.
Yeah, everything, yeah. All things trace back to,
the Fringe.
Yeah, to a drippy cave in the underbelly, find. You and me met in a drippy cave in the underbelly.
And it was, it was beautiful. That cave, I swear to God, I could smell Robert the Bruce in that cave. I could smell his breath at night when there was no one else around. And I was, adjusting a bit of set that had fallen on someone. Because that's actually, that's the run got cancelled.
Because the roof fell in.
Because the roof fell in.
Yeah.
That's
what
Oh, not a joke.
No,
did they charge us? Did they charge us for the full run? Of course they did. Not our fault the roof caved in. Well, it is. Because you should have done more to fix it. But they didn't care, and that was it. That's where I met gorgeous Monica.
Yes.
We had a gorgeous little run that time, didn't we? You was always down Oaxaca, that was your little horn.
Oaxaca. Anyone want to go to Oaxaca? Yeah.
Have you got a gold? You got a gold card or something?
No, but the best thing that's happened to me recently is that Harvester have been in touch.
Oh yeah.
Because I set an episode of Big Boys and Harvester, and I've got 10 free Harvesters, and I've got a year as of last month to take them, which is now like what, one a month. So I'm going to do a little tour.
Patty, have you been to Harvester?
You'd love it.
No, I don't know what that. I don't even know what it is.
Imagine like a restaurant that's on the side of a main road. And when you walk in, someone's like, salad. And then you go, and there's like a salad bar, and you get like a free little bowl of salad. But predominantly, you like skip over everything healthy and just get like pasta with like loads of mayonnaise and croutons and potatoes.
Then what is the point of the person's job who screams salad?
Oh, no, they're not employed.
They're volunteers.
They're volunteers. That's what I used to do.
Are they on commission?
Perhaps. I think you can tip them.
I did go to, I'm just going to ruin all of my chances of ever getting anything free from Harvester. But I went to Harvester once, and they have this kind of little sloppy beetroot vibe in the thing. There was a lighter in it.
There was what?
I said, sorry, excuse me.
That is a Diane.
There's
sorry.
A lighter in here. And well, word, no word of a lie, she came over, took the lighter out. Sorry about that. Went about her business. Didn't take the salad away. Just left it there.
No, see, I know, because we filmed in the Harvester Salad Bar, that they were really on making sure that the cross-contamination from the customers...
Choose your alliances, Jack. Stop sucking up to Harvester on the bleed. Just so you get your 10 free dinners.
Are pretty incredible.
What do you get from a Harvester, though? Patty, I'm trying to explain to you the menu here. Basically, it's four different kinds of meats with four different kinds of barbecue sauce. Have you had
Sounds
any
good.
Nice... food in Edinburgh, Patsy?
I have. Well, I haven't really gone to like a lot of restaurants because I feel like I'm just eating chips in the courtyard after shows and stuff. But that was at Kilimanjaro Coffee.
Oh.
I've eaten there like 10 times.
That's where I just had my brunch, was Kilimanjaro.
Where do we go? We have a little, we'll have a steak bake. I say that all the time. I wake up, headbutt the wall, go and get a steak bake. That's my routine. Wake up. Head back the wall. Have a yakult. That's important. Then have a steak bake. Have a little sleep because of the compassion. Then that's it. Beautiful. Anyway, better ask some questions. It's a chat show, you lot. All right, beautiful. What have I got here? So I've lost the plot, to be honest. I'm halfway through. You know what I mean? We've only got two of these gorgeous shows left, haven't we? Our chat shows.
Oh, wow.
This is the penultimate one. And it's been gorgeous.
I feel like because you guys are all halfway through the festival and I've just arrived today, I'm like really ready, but you guys are like being quite earnest about where you're eating.
you want to like play and
get
nasty and okay.
You want to get busy.
I want to get nasty and naughty and dirty and filthy.
Oh yeah. My god!
I think
not even 5 o'clock at night.
I kind of feel like we've all, since you've been gone, we've all had like our dark nights of the soul. moment, and so we're all like softened and have empathy still, or like a brighter form, brighter coming into our empathy, and that's the space that I'm in right now when I want to talk to you about how good the veggie haggis is at Kilimanjaro.
We've lost our personalities to Arthur's seat. It took it. It came in the night. It just looks at us whilst we sleep. Arthur's seat, like a Doctor Who episode, and just sucks our brains out, takes our personalities.
And what they don't tell you, which I think is crazy, is like when you go up to Arthur's seat that he's up there. He's like he's up there. He's got big bubble butt. He's thick in the American way. He's like thick bubble butt.
And he's got those big
injections.
White, he's got those big white wedding cake shoes, isn't he?
Wedding cake shoes.
Yeah, like the feela ones, you know, the big
ones.
Yeah.
All the trendy big goods chunky wear. Chunky.
He's got a big old bubble butt. Big white feeler, trendy white trainer.
He's waist training.
Yes, waist training. Got a dumbbell. He's got two dumbbells just next to him. Okay, this is fun. Now, you just got back from Margate, doing the Pride.
Margate Pride.
And you met Sugar Babes. Am
the
I wrong?
Sugar Babes. You're completely correct.
Tell us a little story about them. What are they like? Are they nice?
Well, I met the original three. So we're talking the OG, the Saucy. First three, Mucha, Keisha, Siobhan.
And what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm just going to say this, right? I feel a bit bad for Heidi Because Heidi technically was in the Sugar Babes the longest.
Yeah.
She did the longest run.
Yeah.
But she's fully... I mean, it's like that bitch never even lived.
Yeah.
Like, they're but all three of them were lovely.
But it's like the woman who works in the office for the longest.
Yeah.
You know, no one cares about her.
No.
Then someone swans in at the end. They're a bit dynamic and everyone's like, oh, I'm going to miss you so much. Whilst Karen's just in the corner going... I've been here for 6 weeks. 6 years. No one cares, Karen. You're going to die miserable.
She's been, over the years, building up, like, she's been, like, putting clay, like, she's been fastening clay, using clay, like, pipe bombs under the building for, like, 6 years for her final day.
Yeah, and when she goes...
She doesn't have time to talk.
Absolute murder.
Yeah.
That's a Channel 5 documentary I can't wait to watch. Well, no, it'd be a Netflix thing, wouldn't it, where it'd be like, this is Karen, she's normal. Then it would go through. It would tell you what happened literally after the first sentence, and then you'd watch 7 episodes where nothing happened, and then it would repeat the last sentence at the end.
Yeah.
And then you'd be miserable.
Yeah, it would be. There would literally be nothing about the story, and it'd be like, Karen had a 14-year-old daughter who was a little slut. And then it would be like her smoking cigarettes and like wearing a thong for like 7 episodes. And then it would go back and it's literally the mom blowing up the building.
Yeah, Karen.
Yeah.
So in America, did they say, you got to go and do the Fringe? I bet they didn't.
Don't make me say it. They asked if I told my I have like a show booking agent, and I was like, I would really love to travel because I've like never traveled in my life, really. And
oh, really? Well, you never
only until like the past couple years for work.
Oh,
so I just feel like I haven't seen a lot of stuff. And they were like, would you want to do Fringe? And all my friends that like talk about Fringe in this like way that makes it there's like a mythology around it. And
well, you got to do it. It's a beautiful experience.
Yeah, that it's just, like, really fun and that there's nothing else like it and it's really hard and, like, it's just, like, a boot camp.
And have you found it hard or did you think, you know, it's gotten easier, isn't it? I guess when the shows go well, you're all happy and you're laughing, you know.
It was really hard. It's been, like, tough. It's, like, definitely, like, I think it's as long as it can be without you getting symptoms forever. Like, I don't know, But I feel like I'm having a great time and I'm learning a lot about performing.
But to be fair, you're a bit like a Hollywood actress, to be fair. And then why are you coming to the Bleeding Fringe, you know, and eating in Brigadoons or whatever it's called every day, your veggie breakfast?
It's like high spectrum narcissism. I need attention in any way I can fucking get it. And it's either this or it's me putting C4 in the side of a building for my coworkers.
I mean, We met at the Fringe show. We know the importance of it. Do you think your show, I mean, because everyone's seen Big Boys, haven't they, Jack? It's an incredible TV show, one of the best TV shows. Oh. I've got to say it, Jack, because it is one of the most gorgeous. Now, do you think a lot of that came from working at the making shows at the Fringe and then they eventually build into something that's really magical and that you put on the screen?
Yeah, definitely. I think all of Big Boys is basically just like recycled Edinburgh Fringe material from 3 hours worth of shows.
Yeah.
That like it's quite nice sometimes to make something that's got like other characters in because like the idea of doing a one-man show is so unbelievably narcissistic and self-indulgent, and the older I get, the more I realise like what an absolute twat I must have been like. So the way you're even smiling and nodding, like yeah, you were.
No.
Yeah, you were.
I think you got worse as you've got older, actually.
But I feel very very grateful for Edinburgh because I think it's it's such a good testing ground. I mean, also like, but I think Pat, you probably agree with this, like. The best way that you can test out jokes is in front of people.
Yeah.
Like, which is why, like, I don't really do much, like, online comedy or, like, TikTok skits, even though it'd be fun to do. But I'm just like, I need people to know if something's funny or not type thing, who are, like, in the room. So it's a really good way of, like, testing stuff.
Did you do a stand-up hour before you came, Patty?
No.
First time was doing it at Soho, was it?
So so this is what Jack was fucking skinning me alive for, is that last year I did 6 shows at the Soho Theatre in London, and they were hour-long shows, and it was, again, like I had told my booking agent, Mark, that I was like, I really want to like, if I can travel and do comedy, that would be great. He's like, would you want to do a run at this theater? And I was like, okay, cool. But I hadn't performed in, like, all of lockdown, hadn't written anything new. So I was like, I'm just going to throw together a bunch of this, like, old stuff and see if any of it still lands, just to, like, get the, like, gears turning again. And then did that show, and then didn't really perform again for a while after that. And then they asked Soho Theater asked, or, like, because they have their Fringe programming, they're like, would you want to go to Fringe with Soho Theater? Because they would think that's cool. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's great. I thought I had no idea, like, if you had a show that wasn't, like, complete, that it was, you have to call it a work in progress. I didn't know that your show has to have a title. I was like, oh, I'm just going to do, like, material. And, like, it sounds like the Fringe is a place where you work that stuff out. I didn't know that, like my show, my tickets were going to be more expensive because they thought I had, like, a tight hour. And that, like, it was just, like, all this stuff that was, like, kind of, like, oh, I realized it as I got here, that I was, like, people want, like, a really tight, a show, and I'm literally being, like, what if, hey, guys, look down here. What if Stuart Little was right here and I was sucking his fucking dick? Does that land? Is that funny to you guys? And I was, like, dead silent.
Well, it
was. Like, your tickets are $55. They're not $55, but they should be for that.
Well, you could.
Because I get a little Stuart Little out and they show his cock to everyone.
Oh, my God.
He's like, put me down. And he gets about 10% of what I make on the show, which is what's sad.
He gets 10% of what you make full stop now.
Full stop. Full stop. Yeah, he's on my team. He's one of my reps. It's my manager, which is like, Stuart, we have a really toxic sexual relationship that there will be a book about, and it's not going to be an easy read.
But do you... So what about... So you've had reviewers in to review your show, like, a full hour. Is that not a bit worrying, then, if you don't feel...
Oh, I've gotten reviews for it. I was like, whether I like it or not, I'm going to get them, and they're...
Good.
They reflect what I just said.
No, they don't. You've had great reviews across the
street. I've gotten them before, but I've gotten some fair bad reviews. I read them, and I was like, that is fucking fair. It's like, she talks... Her show is about an hour and a half too long, and I was like, yes. Someone last night came up to me and was like, my show is supposed to be 60 minutes long, and I've gotten in trouble for it going an hour and 20 almost every single night. Because, again, I'll be like, okay, I have my material in order, and then I'll be like, wait a second, I really got to ask you guys, what do you guys think of green beans? And then there's like a 40-minute riff on like me trying to win them back after that. But yeah, someone came up and was being so nice, because like people constantly like leave my show to go catch another show because I'm going over. And this girl was like, do you think all those people who left during your show left because they were like offended? Or do you think they like didn't know that like your show, they thought your show was only going to be an hour and that it's actually supposed to be an hour and a half? They didn't know it was an hour and a half show. And I was like, no, it is an hour. It's supposed to be an hour. I just go over. And she was like, and I was like, we have nowhere to go.
You get charged for that, though, don't you, if you go over?
I don't get charged for that. I think the guys Soho. Yeah. The people that I loved so deeply and have been so nice and care for me, I just bludgeon them with fines from the... Yeah.
Patty has come from America here to basically bankrupt an Arts Council-funded institution.
Well, it's kind of the idea of credit cards. It's kind of taking the idea of credit cards and using that and like kind of moral faith that people have in me here.
But what was your background in stand-up, or did you?
In college, I started doing improv, and then I moved to New York and then couldn't afford improv classes, so I just started doing like character bits on stage and then getting booked on stand-up shows. So now it's like, I would say it's stand-up, but I don't feel like I'm like a stand-up. A stand-up. Until you get me start talking about the difference between men and women.
Patty's got a great bit on airplane food, haven't you?
Sometimes they give it to you way later than they should.
Fair game. It's like Jack in first class. Yeah. Here's my bacon sandwich, smashing the window, pulling the thing.
Putting bits of that explosive on the along the carriage. Have you ever got a first class train? Oh, yeah, you have, and it ended badly.
Well, what I will say is I've ridden the trains. I guess the different. I don't really. I know. I've read the LNER, and I've read. I've rode. I took a train to Paris one time from London, and I've taken the first class, and I've taken the regular tickets, and they're not that different. Other than it's super expensive, and the food is really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like crazy that I was like, oh, maybe because the tickets are like double, triple, that you'll get like food on a plate, and they really take that little sandwich and they fling that bag at you so fast, which is fine. And well, like this, I'm okay with that.
I had to headbutt a woman, actually, weirdly enough, on, didn't know, where was we? Carlisle or something. She came up to me, she went, that's my seat. I said, no, it ain't, Craig. Well, she came at me.
Really?
Yeah, she chose the wrong person. Because I'll tell you what, those Percy pigs went all over the carriage. It was a nightmare. But did I win Milky? Of course I believed in one. No one approaches me on a train when I've got my little mask on. I'm having the time of my life. I've got my little earphones in, listening to Enya. That's how I roll. So, Jack, I think it's safe to say that all those days ago when we met in our beautiful little fringe venue, yeah, you know, we would sit there talking about the future, and you say, Diane, one day I'm going to become a national treasure, just like you. And I said, yeah, you might do, Jack, but don't forget, things get disappointed. No, Jack was right. You came on and you became a national treasure. Well, you certainly get that way, aren't you? Because let's have a look at these people who have seen Big Boys and given it a beautiful... Oh, Kathy Burke.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sorry, what's that? Russell T. Davies. Oh. I mean, these are the institutions, British
Don't
comedy.
Forget Ghislaine Maxwell. She was lovely about the show as well.
She's watched it from a bunker.
She watched it 18 times on a loop. That's what they're using as torture now.
Wait, Ghislaine Maxwell?
Yeah.
Did you? That's not a good thing that she watched your show. She got canceled. I hate to be the person I break it to you, but she got canceled in the States.
She's
yeah.
been canceled.
Yeah, she was biphobic one time. She was biphobic. In 1999, she was biphobic to one of the girls on the Lolita Express.
Wow.
And that girl came forward.
Okay, we're moving on because the lawyers are sweating here. Okay, I'm not ending up in prison. No chance. So, Jack, anyway, as I was saying before we started talking about the good and the lost, what's it been like? The feedback and everything. So... I mean, it's such a gorgeous show, but go on, tell us. What's it been like getting people, what's their feedback been? Because you've really hit I guess as well, it's like a working class comedy like yours, you know, that is really packed full of jokes and gorgeous and has a lot of heart. Like all the great writers, that's what it's like. So what has the feedback been like? And to be put in that position where you've done something, you must be so proud of it as a show.
It's lovely. It's so nice. Even like you saying it, like, it's been the nicest, like, 4 or 5 months of my life. I've had the loveliest time.
That's not good enough, Jack. I need examples. Can I have examples, Jack, please?
Examples of what? Of it being good?
No, I'm joking. Just
there was a week where I remember being like, I would check my phone each day and there would be, like, another message from someone. And it got to a point where my friends were just like, this is exhausting now. Because I'd be like, oh, Kathy Burke just tweeted it. She absolutely loves it. Then I'd be like, oh, Russell D. Davis just called me. And then I'd be like, oh, Melanie C. just messaged me.
Oh,
and then I'd be like,
God.
Richard Curtis called me at 2 o'clock in the morning. and then by Richard Curtis, everyone was like, fuck off. We don't care. Big boys, bum boys, bad boys. So I've got enough people to like bring me back down from the excitement of it, which is good, I think. But yeah, it's been lovely. You hate it, though. Patty hates it.
Well, no, I was just going to say, like, it's not really that big of a deal if Melanie C. congratulates you on something. Because she congratulates a lot of people kind of on everything.
People.
I've gotten DMs from her. She's like, congratulations, I saw you got coffee today at Kilimanjaro Coffee.
Yeah, they are quite new. Do you know what? Now you said that, you're right, actually. Yeah, because they do throw about a bit of praise.
Who, Melanie C?
Melanie C, yeah. She calls me a lot because, of course, I was with her mum in prison.
Yeah.
She taught me how to high kick, Melanie's
mum. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. In fact, that's why I could dislocate both my hips. Thanks to Melanie C. That's how I get through any tight corner.
I tell you what, though. Genuinely, Melanie C would love both of you a lot. Melanie C is quite progressive.
Do you think someone has to be progressive to like us?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, compared to the other four, you really think Jerry's going to come and see... Actually, she'd come
just
and see...
shut your mouth, okay. You've said too much. You're in yourself a pickle now. What you're basically saying is, compared to Jerry, who's basically Darth Vader...
Jerry's been hugging Nadine Dorries, who doesn't believe in the arts. So
exactly.
That's what I'm saying.
Wait, so there's someone who doesn't believe in art?
Yeah. And the they're the cultural minister for the arts.
Sorry,
when Nadine Dorries... So Nadine Dorries is... Well, actually, what we got? Who's the other one? She's also friends with the one who's going to be prime minister, maybe.
Liz Truss.
Liz Truss. Now, she... when she... She's had an experiment done on her, right? And they showed her all these paintings, and they said to her, "What can you see?" And she just said, "It's just a grey wall." And everyone was like, "That's a Picasso." But she actually can't see colour or paint.
No.
That's how dark it is. And now she's going to become the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom. Mm. And she can't even see art.
God, this is everything we've said has ended on a real bum note.
Yeah. Never mind.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This little section's called Dear Diane, okay? Now, in Dear Diane, what happens is they write in and they ask us for their advice, okay? Dear Diane. Oh, well, none of us are going to know this. Oh, actually, should I just say it? Dear Diane, what's the secret to a long and happy relationship? If I'm honest, with me and my Ron, so, Patty, I'll fill you in. I've got my gorgeous boy, Ron, who's my partner. I've been with him for years. He's gorgeous. I met him. He used to be a bouncer down my nightclub, The Flick. He's a bare-knuckle boxer. Family are renowned on Canvey. And, you know, I like a kind of man that you can be in his presence and smell what he's eating. You know? And usually with him, it's a potato waffle. He just has them on the go all the time. He loves a potato waffle. Now, in my eyes, what makes my relationship with Ron so good... You need a man who is happy to pick your dead skin off of a night time. You sit there watching Bargain Hunt and he's just filing away with a hacksaw.
On your feet?
On the feet. No, not on the feet. On my eyes. I've got so much dead on my cataracts. He's just sitting there going to my cataracts with a chopstick. Lifting it away. Beautiful. That's my thing. No, not really that. That was a joke. Do you know what? We always try and make each other happy. So we always try and give each other a little surprise, you know, like a little cream egg. You'll put a little cream egg in the glove compartment and I'll open it. I'll be like, oh, there's a cream egg in here. So what do you two think? Have you had long relationships? I'm allowed to ask that from both of you. I don't know if you want to talk about your personal life.
I actually haven't had like a long-term relationship.
Oh.
Yeah, I didn't have my first boyfriend until I was 26.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
but was that a nice relationship? Or
it was. I think it was kind of the perfect first relationship for that time. I think because I was like dealing with. I didn't come out as transgender until I was like 24. So up until then, I felt pretty like sexually in a vacuum. I was like, I got to deal with this other stuff first before hand. So, yeah, I would, if I gave advice, it would probably be really, like, really destructively bad for this person. I would say, like, fuck them before you know their name, and suck them before you kiss them.
That's good advice. But to be fair, though, I think, oh yeah, round of applause, please. Come on.
Thank you.
Actually, what you're saying is that you've got to be happy with yourself before you can be in a relationship. But I think that's an important thing, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's you gotta have like you should. I think it's if your you know orbit is healthy enough, then you should. It's okay to bring someone else in. I think.
Yeah.
But it's also like I feel like some people are like in a self-betterment vortex where they're perpetually like always being like I need to be like. Yeah, I don't think anyone's ever going to be, like, perfect. But, yeah, I think you got to have your stuff under control before you, like, start batting your lashes and flicking your little tits around trying to wave someone in.
Then coming out when you were that age? And what was it that made you feel relaxed?
It wasn't. I wasn't relaxed. I was, like, I felt really, like, kind of, like, crazy nihilist, suicidal, to the point that I was like, I might as well come out and see how it goes. And if it sucks, I'll kill myself. And if it is cool, then I'm going to get rocking huge tits and get like 30,000 thread lifts and get fox eye surgery and get my lower ribs removed so I can waist train and then get the other ribs removed so I can self-suck.
And also...
And it was a powerful journey and I had my butterfly journey. And that's kind of every 10 years I'm like, I'll kill myself when I'm 40 unless I get, like, an amazing job where I can afford, like, two-story condo.
Well, it's a very dark way of asking the universe for what you want, isn't it?
Do what?
It's a very dark way of asking the universe for what you want. It's like, if you want me, you better deliver. If not, I'm out of it. You're blackmailing the universe, essentially.
What are you getting at?
Well, no, it's good. I'm saying it's a technique that's going to work. And tonight, I'm going to make some threats. What about you, Jack, and relationship advice?
I've not really had a long-term relationship either. But I think I'm done. I'll get on the LNER and Zoomer back. I'll just go. It wasn't my year. I don't even have a show.
The last Chat Maturity podcast. Sadly, we won't be doing any more because everyone's left us. Do you use the app? You don't use the apps then, do you? It's a bit...
I do. I use the apps.
Yeah, we both use the apps. Yeah. Everyone uses... Even when someone's like, I'm not using the apps, it's because they've deleted the app the night before and they're about to re-download.
Well, everyone's very
after.
Negative about them, though. I feel like there's new... You know, I should do a singles night down the flick, shouldn't I? Something like that. In real life, people need to meet each other in real life, I think. But it's very hard to do that because we're all so shy and scared.
But it's harder to do that when you're, like, part of the Lugabatekia community.
Yeah, celebrities sometimes. Like you two. Me? I'd be on the celebrity now. I'm almost like a deity.
Yeah, but Diane, you've got a big black book full of names from the 80s
and 90s.
I have,
yeah, but they're mostly dead now. Well, you treed. So I've had to... U-tree is like a... What's the equivalent, American equivalent? Like they've been Harvey Weinsteined.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Do you know what? I feel like we're running out of time because we just sat here gassing. We've only got 10 minutes left. Look, the producer's holding the card up. You've got 10 minutes left. Do something. Quick, one more Chat with Julie then. No, not Chat with Julie. That's the TV show. I give up. I quit. Dear Diane, I bought alcohol-free beers for me and my two children, aged 9 and 11. My wife is furious. Am I in the wrong? Don't care. Sorry. Don't worry about it. You'll get over it. We used to have those little beer sweets when I was younger. They were fine. And what were they full of? E-numbers, exactly. And I turned out all right. For the people at home, I did a little shape there. Like I was mad. Dear Diane, I'm thinking of getting Botox. It seems to be so popular. Is it a good idea?
We also spoke about this, did we not? Because I'm going to get a bit of Profhilo, I think.
What is Profhilo?
Profhilo is like, it's like a reduced down version of Botox where they're like... inject hyaluronic acid into your like cheeks and face and jaw. But apparently I'm the wrong side of 30 to get it. I've got to wait another year.
Oh, gorge.
Mic drop.
Would I get it done? I'm going to stick with the white spirit and the polyfiller, which is works well for me. And have a nice little, like I said, in the morning, yakko, headbutt, steak bake. Right, so to finish up the show, we do a little song. Milky, what's your atmosphere like? Can you feel a little atmosphere? Let me give you a little rub on the knee. Because sometimes we connect a lot better when we touch. Oh, yeah. Come on. It's Tuesday. And we're having a depressing time. We've got Giswell Maxwell, whatever her name is. She's dying somewhere in a prison. And who cares? It doesn't matter, because she thinks Jack's show is a given. I don't know what we're gonna do, but we're all gonna die soon. And if we're gonna die, let's make it work and say we're gonna kill ourselves if we don't get what we want. Yeah, we're gonna kill ourselves if we don't get what we want. Yeah, we're gonna kill ourselves if we don't get what
Stop
we want.
Stop it! Don't kill yourself. There's always a reason to stay, like potential to win awards, maybe get Botox. Maybe you can marry into a rich family and then be on the UK.
Or go on to have a flourishing career in the arts, like
You can become Melanie C.
You can become Jizzin Maxwell.
You can become the person who goes, I got Ghislaine Maxwell in prison.
Okay, let's change it.
Seek justice.
We could change it, I reckon. Don't ever kill yourself, because you never know what you're going to want in the future. That's a good... Okay, everyone, come on, now. Are you never going to kill yourself, because you never know what you're going to want in the future. Okay, let's finish the show. This is a nightmare. Well, thank you to my gorgeous guests. I've adored every second. Even though it's been up and down, we've had a beautiful time here. It's been real. Hasn't it been real? It's come from our hearts.
It's come from our hearts.
Yeah. Well done, Milky. You're gorgeous. I love you too. Than anything.
We love you.
Well, we love you.
I love the little bar staff again. Well done for being the laziest people at the Fringe. They haven't lifted a finger. Good work. Thank you, Chris, my beautiful producer, who's going to go home and have a stroke. All right then, my beautiful babes. Have a gorgeous day. We've run over maybe a little bit. Love you too. All right, bye. Gorgeous. This is a hat-trick compost. Forgot that bit. Beautiful. Love you. Bye.
Chatting with Trudy is recorded at my beautiful club, The Flick, down in the Assembly Underground. Oh, gorgeous. A big thanks to the wonderful people down at Burke's Nest and my beautiful little music geek, Andy Goddard. Assistant producer is Diggory Waite. My beautiful little producer is Chris Jones. This is a Hat Trick Cobcast.